Let's pray. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your presence with us. Lord, pray your blessing of peace upon this house, upon this family, and upon every person here tonight. Lord God, you are the one who can touch our lives by your Holy Spirit. You are the one who can touch our lives deep into our hearts to change our lives, to make us into true servants and powerful servants for your kingdom. Lord, I just pray for every person here, Lord, that you may do a deep work in their hearts to bring them closer to you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you. My name is Matthew. I come from New Zealand. I've been in Fiji for about a little bit over two months now. In just about 7 weeks, I'll still be here. But I want to speak about dedicating our lives to God. Dedicating our whole life to God. There was a famous king called Solomon. He was one of the richest men who ever lived. And he made this beautiful, glorious temple, and then he dedicated it to God. When he dedicated it to the Lord, the presence of the Lord came into that temple like a cloud of shining glory. The priests could not even enter that temple because the glory of God was there. Then God spoke to Solomon. Well, first of all, actually, Solomon prayed, he dedicated, and it was a beautiful prayer. Now, a short time later, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and spoke to him and gave him really a choice between blessing and cursing. And if Solomon and the future kings, if they would be faithful to God, the blessing of God would always be upon the nation of Israel. But if they were unfaithful to God, if they turned away from him, turned to the gods of other nations, if they turned away from the Lord, then judgment would come upon that nation. We see through the history of that nation that there were people who were faithful to God, but then there were many evil kings. When these evil kings were ruling, God sent prophets to warn them to turn away from their sins. Many times they refused to listen to God. There came a time when the prophet Ezekiel was shown a vision by God, and it was a vision of God's glory departing from the temple. God's presence was leaving the temple, and God was no longer going to have his blessing on that temple. Sometime later, the time came when the people of Israel were driven out of their lands. The time came when all the items in that temple were stolen by other nations. Finally, the time came when that temple was completely destroyed. God destroyed that temple because his people had not dedicated their lives to him. So in dedicating a temple, a place, anything to God, the most important thing is to dedicate your own heart to God. Dedicating your life fully to God, to be faithful to following him and serving him. Okay, the power of God changed my life when I was 16 years old. I was invited to a Christian youth camp. A man preached the word of God and it touched my life in a powerful way. When I was prayed for, it was like electricity, power went through my body like a wave. And it totally transformed my life. It opened my spiritual eyes to the reality of God. Then I knew that God was calling me to start preaching. God had saved me. I had to declare the reality of God in New Zealand. In New Zealand, there are many good churches, but there are many people who are just worldly people, and they do not want to listen to the word of God. They are happy making their money, living their lifestyle, living for themselves. Really, they are not thinking about God. Anyway, God called me to be an evangelist. What is an evangelist? An evangelist is a preacher of the good news of salvation. And not just to preach in the church, but to preach outside of the church, to preach to those who were not Christians, to call them to make sure of their salvation. So God sent me to preach outside nightclubs, preach outside, preach on the streets, and take the gospel to those who are unbelievers. And what I found is that the unbelievers have many excuses for why they do not want to follow Jesus Christ. And we have to remove the excuses that people have in their hearts that are stopping them from following Jesus. And I'm going to just quickly mention a few of these excuses and to try, well, to really give answers why nobody has any excuse. When we stand before God on the day of judgment, we will either be among the righteous or the wicked. We will either go to heaven or to hell. And there is going to be no excuse for those who are lost in their sins and go to hell. They will not be able to say, "Oh God, it's not fair that you are sending me to hell." So these are some reasons why there is no excuse for anyone not to know the true living God. And the first reason why there is no excuse is because of the creation of God, that God is our creator. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says that since the creation of this world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that men are without excuse. What is it saying here? It's saying when we look at outside at the creation of this universe, we have to believe that there is a creator. When you look at a painting, you know there is a painter. When you look at a building, you know that in your heart there was a builder. When we look at this universe, all the stars, all the creation, in our hearts we know that there is a creator. And the one who made this universe, it also demonstrates his supreme power. What kind of power does God have to have to have created this whole universe just by speaking? It shows a sovereign power, a great power. So when we look to who is the true God, we have this witness before our eyes every day. That's why the Bible says that we are without excuse if we do not believe in God. Now, I have an uncle. He's a very strong atheist. He totally refuses to say that there is a God. His heart is hard because he doesn't want to acknowledge the creator of this universe. But it is beyond doubt. In our hearts, we know the great power that had to have made this universe. Okay, the second reason why there is no excuse is because of the law of God. That is the commandments of God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, it says that we know whatever the law says, it says to those under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Okay, so the law, it does not save us. It condemns us as sinners. In Fiji, you have certain laws. If you break that law, you can be caught by the police. Many countries, their laws are based on the Bible. But of course, it depends on how much that nation wants to follow God. Many basic commandments of God's law, such as do not murder, they are just obvious laws. Do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not commit adultery. These are the laws of God, of his righteousness. Now, if you break the laws of Fiji, there is different punishments. If it's a small crime, there's not much punishment. But if there's a larger crime, you can go to prison. And extreme cases, people need life in prison. Now, the crime against God of rejecting God is so serious that those who are lost and those who die in their sins will go to the eternal prison. We call that hell. Now, the first commandment God gave was that we shall not make other gods before him. Now, when we have an understanding of who the true creator God is, the sovereign God of all his power and glory, the greatest sin is to make a false god. Now, a false god is a man-made god. It's made by the hands of man. They make their own gods. We call them statues. We call them idols. But they are made by the hands of man. That's why God warns us, whoever prays to idols, they will go to the fires of hell. They are sinning against the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. So if we have the witness in our hearts of who is the awesome Creator God, we see how the nations turned away from that sovereign God because they did not want to obey the true living God. They did not want to serve him. So they made their own traditions. They made their own stories. They turned away from their Creator and they made their own gods. But the law of God says, do not make idols. It's a commandment of God. So when a person prays to an idol, they are sinning against the Creator of heaven and earth. They are in sin against God. I'll just quickly mention the other witnesses because there's no time to go into all of them in detail. One of the witnesses, of course, is Jesus Christ himself, coming from heaven and being born on this earth. That Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, there is all kinds of darkness through evil, but if you have Jesus Christ, you have the light of God shining upon you. Then we also have the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, for a person to have a true encounter with God, they need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sins. You know, it is a sin to get drunk. No drunkards will enter the kingdom of heaven. I see many of these bus drivers, you know, they finish driving their bus, then they all meet together just to drink. They're in spiritual darkness. They do not realize the depths of their evil sin. Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself. Don't take up grog. Don't take up these kind of worldly things. Many people have not put God first in their lives. It's like they've got all these bondages. But when Jesus came and he called his disciples, he called people out of the world, not to be half-hearted followers. That's why I want to challenge you. Have you fully dedicated your life to God? You know, while I've been in Fiji, I've been talking to many, many people, even many people who go to church, and I find that they have not fully dedicated their lives to God. They are not strong servants of God. They are half-hearted. Now, Jesus Christ did not come to call half-hearted followers. He came to raise up a powerful church, an anointed church, a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, a church that will fully repent of our sins, that will cry out to Jesus to save us, that we are not going to be liars and thieves and greedy people and letting the devil deceive us. You know, if there is sin in the church, how are the unbelievers going to be saved? Mm-hmm. If the unbelievers don't see us fully following Jesus, if we are compromising, how are they going to be convicted in their hearts of their sins? So the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus Christ to convict our hearts. So that when the true word of God goes into our hearts, it's like a sword. It cuts away the sins. It cuts away the lies. Cuts away the deceptions. You know, when I saw the sovereign power of God, the presence of God, how he comes close to people, I see time and time again, people rejecting God because of false excuses, all kinds of sins, all kinds of evil, and that we do not want to be deceived. So tonight I'm giving a hard message, because I don't want you to be like King Solomon. He was rich, he was wealthy, he was powerful, but he did not dedicate his heart to God. He dedicated his temple. He built a temple. But he himself, I do not believe he's in heaven. He fell away from God. He lived an immoral life. He took wife after wife after wife. He was a very sinful man. And at the end of his life, God totally rejected Solomon. God loved him when he was young, when he was innocent, when he was pure, when he was on the path of righteousness. God loved King Solomon. But when he was an old man, he was a stubborn man. He was a hard-hearted man. He was an idol worshiper. He turned away from the living God. He did what he wanted because he had so much money. But when he died, what could his money do? The nation of Israel was torn in two because of that one man, because of his sin. So he started good, but he became an evil man. So you might be a good Christian today. Make sure you do not compromise. Make sure you do not fall into sin. Make sure you do not compromise the word of God. God is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He's a powerful God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's also a loving God. He's also a merciful God to those who come to him and receive forgiveness of sins. So when I was young, I prayed to Jesus. I knew my heart was cleansed. My sins were washed away. The peace of God came into me. I became a temple of the Holy Spirit. So my challenge to you is dedicate your whole heart to God. If there's any compromise, you know, God said marriage must be holy. So we don't want any adultery or divorce in the church. When I came back to Fiji, I saw divorce everywhere, divorce everywhere. What's happening in Fiji? Where now even many Indians are also getting divorced. It used to be that they were having good marriages. You know, the devil is wanting to break marriages. We have to see divorce as a sin. You know, we need husband and wife. You love each other. You be committed because of faithfulness to God, and you commit your children to God. So I'm not trying to be angry or sad, but I just have to be honest. I've seen more sins increasing in Fiji since I was last here. Now, Fiji is better than New Zealand, but we don't want Fiji to go into the way of the devil. We want the way of righteousness. We want the living God, the powerful God. So we want to be cleansed. My message and challenge to you is to dedicate your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray.